Hey, sans Vesan! It's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast by Link Humans, London's employer branding agency. Now, this week, London, the royal capital, sends the most traffic and activity onto LinkedIn every day. Now, why might that be? My theory is that there are more recruiters here in the capital than you can shake a stick at, especially of the agency variety. But who's doing it right on LinkedIn? Well, that can be debated. And one way to find out is, of course, to speak to the company that gets awarded most engaged recruiting firm on LinkedIn. What a jolly good idea. Let's start the show. Eamon Collins, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Very good, thanks. Could you please tell our listeners about what you do and what Page Group is?
Sure. I'll start with the company, actually, first. So we're probably very well known as leaders in specialist recruitment worldwide. We operate under the brands that people will be familiar with of Michael Page, Page Personnel, Page Exec, and our latest brand, Page Outsourcing. We operate in 140 offices across 36 countries, and we're just under 7,000 people, so 6,750. My job, I'm the group marketing director, and I have responsibility for our marketing activity worldwide.
Great, okay. And so who is Michael Page?
Michael Page was the founder alongside another guy called Bill McGregor back in 1976. Mm. Neither of whom are with the business anymore. So the business has evolved a long way. It was originally set up above a laundrette in London, specializing in recruiting accountants, and was probably one of the first specialist recruitment agencies rather than just a general staffer, if you like.
Okay. So I've got a background in recruitment, and I'm very familiar with the name Michael Page, especially for executive search and so on. And I think, is that by far the biggest brand? Or?
Yes, it is. So Michael Page is our biggest business, but we have Page Personnel, which is growing fast. And in some countries, such as France, Page Personnel is actually bigger than Michael Page. So we changed and rebranded ourselves in 2012. We were Michael Page International, but actually we see the opportunity that exists across various other parts of the recruitment business and wanted to come up with a brand that would allow us to recognize that. And that's when we rebranded to Page Group.
A book with many pages. Feel free to steal that.
That's very good. Thank you very much.
Right. So you guys, you were the most socially engaged staffing agency on LinkedIn back in 2015.
We were.
And then you slipped a bit and Hayes took it, snatched it off you last year, and now you want it again. So well done.
Thank you very much. We're very pleased. It's a great for us to have recognition of the efforts that the guys all the way across the business have put in.
And so the devil's advocate here, let's be honest. Did you get this award for spending the most money with LinkedIn?
We absolutely didn't, and I think if you ask LinkedIn, they'd positively tell you we didn't. We're very careful with where we make our investments. We're very clear on where we get return. We are a global strategic partner of LinkedIn, but as are most of the major staffing companies, including Hayes. And it's nice to have a good bit of rivalry with them in terms of who kind of comes around these top spots. No, it isn't about how we spent money. It's about the activity we undertook around our program on LinkedIn.
Good. Okay. And before we get into the details there, it's also interesting looking at this list. So out of the top 10, 8 out of 10 staffing agencies, staffing recruitment companies were British. Do you have any comments on that?
I think probably there are a lot of the leading recruiters that are based in Britain. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at the kind of, if you just took the list of leading staffers and recruiters, most of them have, you know, certainly the specialist sector are headquartered out of the UK. I think LinkedIn as a platform was originally targeted very heavily at that professional sector, that professional end. And hence, I suppose we've got more experience on the platform and are using it better.
Yeah, interesting that. Okay, right. So let's dig into the tactics and strategy. So what would say would be, let's give it the top three reasons that you have become the most socially engaged staffing agency on LinkedIn again.
I think one thing's constant from when we did it last time, which was 2015, and it's probably the most important reason. It's actually the content that we produce. So we have a watchword or a watch phrase, if you want to call it, that we use, which is seriously useful content. Mm-hmm. We always very carefully look at the audience. We also carefully look at what they're engaged with, what they want to use, what they're interested in hearing from us, and that drives our content program. So we very carefully devise our strategy around that, and the defining phrase of that is seriously useful. Mm. The second reason, which I think is probably the change from 2015, actually, is where we've put much more focus on how we amplify that content through our own people. And actually, so it's not enough to produce great content. You know, there's no point in having a glittering palace that nobody comes to visit. So you have to think about how you make that content available in the right place at the right time, the right person. And we've done that through amplifying our content through our own people. So it's not just a marketing exercise. The key thing really is, I think recruitment is a very local activity. Mm-hmm. And actually the reality is, if it's just a centralized marketing activity, it tends to boil down to kind of lowest common denominator approaches. Whereas actually people want to hear from the horse's mouth, and it's better that we empower our people to share the content, share what we do. We have tools that we use to help us do that. And in doing so, that's the third reason. It allows our consultants then to build their own personal brand on social. And that's both through their profiles, which is essentially their shop window in terms of what they do, and also through the content that we give them that enables them to kind of share that with their network.
Okay. And you mentioned tools. What tools exactly do you provide to your employees?
We use an amplification tool called Dynamic Signal. Yeah. It's a fantastic tool. It allows us to curate key content. It allows us to put content from around the web, but most importantly, our own content, which is the vast majority of what we put in there. And each day there's a little app that the guys can go in and decide which pieces of content are relevant for them to share with their audience. They then tick that and it shares it out automatically onto all of their social networks, including LinkedIn.
Yeah, so it's an employee advocacy / social selling tool, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And LinkedIn have their own called Elevate, which I'm sure they've reminded you of.
Quite constantly they do, yes, absolutely. That's fine. And it's a good product. It's just we as we said before about how we invest our money, we have a good look around at everything and we decide on which tool's appropriate for us.
Yeah, I mean, as an aside, I believe Dynamic Signal have the technical edge on LinkedIn Elevate. So LinkedIn Elevate, I think, is really useful just for LinkedIn and Twitter to some extent, but Dynamic Signal has so many more, so much more functionality. Right. So
we are in constant conversation with LinkedIn. We always look at the tool and we will constantly reevaluate about which tool we proceed with, but we are very happy at the moment with Dynamic Signal.
Yeah, and I think also Dynamic Signal, not that you know, I'm getting paid for this, but
it's not an advert for them.
No, Dynamic Signal, that's all they do. And there are other tools like Smarp and Sociable. That's also all they do. Whereas LinkedIn, they have a lot of different priorities. So I'm not sure they always invest the most they have into Elevate and, you know, new priorities with Microsoft and so on. I'm only speculating there. But you mentioned seriously useful content. Where does this content sit? Is that on LinkedIn? Is it status updates? Or does it sit on the, let's say, Michael Page blog?
It's everywhere, actually. The point is, once we look at the key themes that we want to look at as part of our editorial calendar, we will look at all of our different channels and repurpose the content to suit each of those channels. So it could be an update on LinkedIn. It could be a long form article on our own website or on our blog. It could be a short post through Twitter. We look at each of the different channels and then repurpose the content to fit each of those channels.
And ultimately, where do you want people to go? I think I know the answer to this, but where?
Yeah, of course, ultimately, the kind of repository, the home of our activities should be our website, and is our website. It is our key channel. Mm. But, you know, we're quite conscious that, like I talked about before, you can't have a glittering palace that nobody visits. Mm. Much better that we take the content to where people are, encourage them to come and visit us on our website to get the full experience.
So essentially, you go on social, onto LinkedIn, steal the audience, pull them back, get them to either apply for a job or perhaps give you a job requirement.
We engage with them, actually, I think. Yeah. You know, it's an engagement channel. And actually, if they don't necessarily come to our website immediately, that's fine. But at some point, I don't think there's a single channel that we look at as an interaction. We're keen to interact with people across all channels. It's a multifaceted approach, really. It's we kind of want to be where the customer journey is. But yes, ultimately, it would be great if they're applying for jobs on our website, but they can also apply for jobs through LinkedIn and job boards and aggregators. We kind of make sure we've got a presence in all the key channels.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So looking along the journey, what mistakes have you made? What can our listeners learn from?
I think there's one key one, which was, I'm a marketeer. I like bright, shiny things. I can get distracted by baubles and the new. And certainly when we first looked at social a long time ago, we had some key drivers around our strategy. And one of those was the word fun, because we just thought that social media should be a fun thing. Mm-hmm. The reality was it drove us down a weird path. You know, it kind of could drive you kind of to producing cat GIFs and God knows what to kind of try and entertain people. It's not what people expect from our brand. It's not true to what we are. And in reality, the other two watchwords held true, which was, you know, frequent and memorable. The fun piece, it just didn't work for us. And we ended up producing a few tools that we tried to push through various channels. They weren't very successful. And it was because it's not what people wanted of us or expected from us. So we listen better now. We analyze, we use data to drive our approach. And that's what drives us towards that seriously useful. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean we have to be dull. Mm. You know, we want to stay human and in touch, but it needs to be fitting with what people expect from page group.
Yeah. Okay. And in terms of the content you do put out, is it, what's the split aimed to candidates or B2B to employers?
Currently, it is predominantly candidate. I think there are certain articles and pieces of content that we produce that's neutral, that's relevant for both, because it's about careers and trends that we see in the marketplace. But overall, yes, it does tend towards the candidate, because that's the majority of the interactions we have on our channels. We do provide then content that our consultants can use with their clients, but predominantly it is candidate-led.
That's interesting. That jogs my memory to speaking to Hayes last year, and exactly they said the same thing. When they started out, they were very much super professional and talking about salary surveys, very much B2B content for HR leaders. However, they realized fairly quickly that what people wanted to read about from them was more actionable stuff. So maybe about CVs and interviews and day-to-day things, which are useful when you're going through a recruitment process. Right. And could you give us any examples of any campaigns or initiatives that you're particularly proud of?
I think that there's two that spring to mind, probably. And actually, it's kind of one of the lessons we've learned in terms of providing a diversity of content in terms of what we do. But that some of our most successful have tended towards tools that people can use. The first of those was a campaign we called CV Anxiety. And that was where we looked at the expectations of candidates, what they thought should be on a CV, what they thought was ideal on a CV. So we ran a survey. We also then surveyed all of our own consultants to say what they looked for on a CV and what they wanted. And we looked at the difference between the two. And it was very useful to kind of give tips and pointers to people about what they should be considering. You know, it's not about the formatting. It's about how they message, what messages they put on their CV, how they get across their achievements and goals. Mm. And I think that was just quite a nice little kind of taster, rather than just being a very, you know, top 10 tips on CV formatting. It's more about how they think about how you portray yourself on your CV, on your resume, and also in your profile. And then the second tool actually that was good was where we looked at another tool called Productivity Unlocker, which kind of looked at people's habits at work, what they did, how long they spent on different bits and pieces, to try and understand how they could be more productive in their role. So any of these tools that allow people just to engage and interact and have a think about their role, their job, and actually it does inevitably lead, of course, to the one thing is that you talked about salary surveys. Yes, we have a salary comparison tool, which it is our most popular piece of content. It is the thing that we get most interaction with on our website. Wow. But we're very careful, certainly that the UK version that we have, that it, rather than being an annual survey, it's based on, you know, right now, it's the last quarter of what we've seen in terms of advertise and place roles, allowing people to make a proper judgment in terms of where they sit versus their kind of peers.
Mm.
Interesting. Okay. And we'll try to include these in the show notes so that our listeners can check them out. Okay. And I want to look at your senior executives. Are they also involved in social? Do they create content? Are they liking, commenting and sharing stuff?
Yes. I mean, you can follow our chief executive, Steve Ingham, who's our chief exec. He is at PageGroup CEO on Twitter. Mm-hmm. You will see him tweeting merrily away in terms of what he does. And it's him. Yes, they are actively involved. And I think what helps us with that is we also have internally within Page, we use Yammer. So we have an internal social networking tool, which we use very actively for people across the world to collaborate and cooperate. So I think it gets everybody in the habit and also into the tone that you need to take on social media rather than it being a very boring, dull, arch-conservative type of activity. Hopefully what you'll see from what Steve posts and other executives that we're a little bit more down to earth, a bit more pragmatic. And so, yeah, actively strong brief, strong belief, and crucially, it's their own voice. You know, we're very reluctant to have things scripted permanently. You'll see a mixture, but generally it is Steve writing his own tweets and other pub posts.
Good. Okay. So thinking back to Hayes from last year, I think it's Alistair something, the name escapes me.
Cox,
yeah. So yeah. He's an influencer on LinkedIn, and even Alain Delhaz, I think, at Adecco Group, he's an influencer now, writing a lot of content on there. I just looked at Steve Ingham's profile, and I don't see, A, he's not an influencer, and B, no. I don't see he's actually published any posts, articles on LinkedIn.
No, because we've purposely kept his it's a good observation, we've purposely really have kept Steve's activity onto Twitter for the time being. Mm-hmm. It's really as a signpost to what we're doing elsewhere. That's what we use Steve and his profile for. On the influencer piece, we are not on the influencer program. We would hope to be, and it's one of the discussions we continue to have with LinkedIn.
That's where you need to spend more money. I'm speaking to many companies who want their CEO to be an influencer. So yeah, it's a good little leverage tool they've got. Okay, right. So this is the Employer Branding Podcast. So how does being socially engaged on LinkedIn and socially in general, how does that help your employer brand, your internal employer brands, so you're able to attract rockstar recruiters?
I think actually even for existing, you know, for our existing people, there's a sense of pride actually in terms of working for an award-winning company. I think crucially, really for me, it builds trust in us as a brand in terms of what we do and a view of we have a modern approach to recruitment. You know, I think Page has been around for, you know, over 40 years. That there could be a tendency to think that we're kind of one of the aging brands in recruitment, but we're not. You know, we have fresh approaches to everything, so it builds trust. And I think that the key thing is also signals, because of the way we've done it, that we want to empower our employees. We want to empower them to build their own social profile, use their own personal brand to help them do their job. And I think that's an attractive proposition for those employees.
Yep, great. Okay. And if you're looking at metrics, how do you measure being socially engaged?
You've talked about it already, traffic. Yes. Mm-hmm. So absolutely. So traffic to our channels, that's very important to us. Number of followers on LinkedIn is very important to us. So we're currently heading towards the 2 million mark. We're about 1.8. And I think crucially for us, you know, across the rest of the mix, actually having organic, socially spread content, you know, that allows us to reconsider how much we have to spend on paid. You know, actually having our own employees be our channel is more powerful than us having to look at paid alternatives. So we always kind of look at what we're spending in different areas, and we can see that, you know, using our own amplification is more successful than necessarily relying on paid advertising or paid media.
So have you been able to calculate actual bottom line ROI then from these activities?
We've started. It's not something that we do. We have a tool that we've talked about elsewhere. We use a revenue attribution model. So it allows us to look at all our digital channels and understand where we're getting ROI on each. Primarily, we use that to measure our job advertising activity. But we do now have the ability to also look at that, the influence of our content and social elements. So it is something we constantly keep an eye on.
Great. Okay. Looking beyond PageGroup, what other brands and organizations inspire you in terms of social and perhaps even outside of recruitment space?
Yeah, I'll probably talk more. I will focus outside of recruitment, really. And actually, the ones that when I try and think about have inspired me recently, it's the ones that focus on customer. And so, you know, I suppose the most obvious one is Amazon. But, you know, I do think it's incredible the way they look at customer markets and what they have to do. I think that's going to be critical for recruitment moving forward in terms of focusing back on the customer. We can maybe talk about it a little bit more. And I also like, I saw a recent campaign that came out from Volvo, which I thought was great, which is about human and focusing on the human first and how they built their new car and their new cars around what the human need is and the human senses are. I thought that was a really nice campaign.
Yeah, okay. And just going back to you said focusing on customers. So who is your customer?
So we can divide it between candidates and clients.
Yeah.
And I think when you look at candidates, it is a very broad spectrum. You know, we do not have a particular sweet spot, I would say, because it could be anybody from the age of 24 in any number of markets working across about 26 different specialisms, you know, from engineering to marketing, to sales, to legal, to finance, obviously, our historic brand. So there isn't that, and it could go all the way up to our senior exec brand, so Page Executive. So for each of those, we look carefully at is there a way of us segmenting those audiences? It's quite tough, I have to say, but you know, we try and find ways to make sure we're focused on where we're getting the most return.
Yeah, it's a big spread, and as opposed to your, I guess, the B2B clients, that's a slightly smaller selection of people.
Actually, not particularly. I mean, I think there's an expectation that because of who we are and our kind of heritage or legacy, if you like, is that we're probably only working for the biggest brands. I mean, we do. You know, we work with much of the FTSE, much of the DAX. You know, so we have all those relationships. But actually, the majority of our clients are in the SME space. You know, that's really where we see a lot of interaction. So we help all the way through the spectrum, both in client, both B2B and in B2C.
Okay, interesting. All right, let's look at what's up next for PageGroup and also what you think is up next for the industry. And any comments on Brexit, just throw it in there.
Sure. Well, Brexit, we've been quite clear that I suppose we are a UK-based, we'll start Brexit if you like, we're a UK-based company. But, you know, the majority of our business is outside of the UK. It will have an impact. We haven't seen an impact to date in terms of Brexit. We'll wait and see what happens. There's no firm plans. The sooner the plans are firmed up, the better for us it is. But if things were to move, you know, we are a global business with capability everywhere in the world. So it's we're comfortable with what the consequence of Brexit might be from our point of view.
Yeah.
I think when you look at the next things for PageGroup and the industry, from an industry point of view, I'd prefer to start with that really, which is that I think we look at an increased focus on customer. I think recruitment, I mean, I've been at Page now for just over 10 years and actually even in that time, I think it's seen a kind of a steady increase in the transactional element of recruitment. It is easier for people to apply for jobs. It is easier for people to find jobs and apply for them. And so, you know, it tends towards a behavior that is more built around transactional interaction. And actually, I think as an industry, it's crucial that we get back to focusing on the customer and focusing on the interaction with the candidate, which is why, you know, we are looking at a huge range of tools across the space. You know, don't particularly want to play buzzword bingo and throw in lots of words about AI and machine learning and all the bits and pieces. I think we have to be efficient in that transactional space using those tools. But we are also looking at tools where we build ongoing relationships over a long term with our candidates and with our clients. So things like data management platforms, personalization engines, all of these kind of bits and pieces that allow us to use our infrastructure and actually, coming back to the content, use our content production to find another channel to give the content to the right person at the right time.
Yes, it's interesting that, marketing tools and recruitment tools are getting more sophisticated and you can do much more personalizing of nurturing campaigns and making you feel very special and really focusing on the human element, a bit like Volvo, like you mentioned there. But at the end of the day, it's just more intelligent technology, isn't it?
It is, but I do think it has to be underpinned with content, with what you know. If you have a tool that's suggesting the next best action for your customer, you have to know what that next best action is. You know, no machine can tell you what that is. And actually, if that next best action, and I think what that next best action would be is this person needs to speak to a consultant. That's great. You know, that we get the person at the right moment on the phone talking to a consultant. That's what we want to do. You know, we don't want to kind of. It's not an endless array of digital interaction. It's picking the right moment for somebody to speak to one of our consultants.
Yeah. I mean, that was always the hard part when I was recruitment agent. You have to check in with, you know, candidates who are passive candidates every 2-3 months, and sooner or later they will be ready. But if you have technology in place to do that, that's fantastic. Right. Yeah. Final question, Eamon. Where do you want to send our listeners? Where can they learn more about the work that you guys do, and where can they connect with yourself?
Crucially, I'd send you to our website. So go to page.com or go to any of the Michael Page sites worldwide. But also, I suppose, as it's started with Socially Engaged, follow us on LinkedIn. Follow us on LinkedIn and you'll see the activity we're undertaking and what we're doing.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time.
No problem at all.
All right, I hope that was useful. Everything Eamon and I discussed will, of course, be in the show notes article, which you'll be able to find at employerbrandingpodcast.com. It's also worth mentioning that Eamon wrote an insightful article about being engaged on LinkedIn for recruiting companies on Undercover Recruiter. So check it out at theundercoverrecruiter.com, and I'll also stick a link to this in the show notes. Right, so as you may know, this segment on the show is when I give someone who has shared the podcast on social media a big shout going out. And this week, the shout goes out to Linda Hugod in Stockholm, Sweden. She is a fantastic ambassador of employer branding, of learning in general, edtech, and she always plays a very strong emoji game. So thank you very much, Linda, for tuning into the podcast and for sharing it on social media. You can find her on Twitter at Linda Hugod, and that's H-U-G-O-D. Fancy a shout out next time? All I ask is that you share the podcast in one way, one shape or form, or social media, and you're in the draw. Tack så mycket. Now, finally, who wants to hear employer brand management strategy and tactics from the likes of Siemens, Tesco, British Army, and General Electric? This is the last time I'm going to remind you about this. Rumor has it that even Steve Keith, my old buddy from EY, is joining the lineup as well. I toast to that. So join me and other employer brand people in London on the 12th of December 2017 for the Employer Brand Management Conference. And of course, I'll stick a link to this in the show notes as well. These show notes are going to be full of links. Use the promo code LINKHUMANS, all in one word, for a special discount. And I hope to see you there. Now, if you want to get in touch with me, if you have any questions around the employer brand work that we do, or any other questions, feel free to email me at jorgen@linkhumans.com. That's J-O-R-G-E-N at linkhumans.com, and we'll take it from there. That's it for this week. Many thanks for tuning in, and catch you next time. Hey då!
What do you call a woman with one leg either side of the road?
No idea.
Bridget.